I hope the thought of lions didn't scare too many off tonight. I want to talk about the difference between cowardly lions and bold lions. You know, in The Wizard of Oz, there's the cowardly lion. And as cute as he is, and as cute as that little movie may be, the fact of the matter is, we know that a cowardly lion wouldn't be much of a lion at all, would he? And in fact, when it comes to Christianity, there are no cowardly lions allowed. We're here to talk about boldness, courage, strength of character, being confident. There's no room for cowardice. In fact, cowardice is a vice. But it's a vice that the world more and more is pushing on people. I read an article in the news a couple weeks ago about an airline that had a passenger that was inappropriately dressed, and they asked that passenger to wrap a blanket around herself so she'd be covered up. I read yesterday in the newspaper where that airline has now apologized to her. When will we ever find someone who can stand up for what is right and not back down? Constantly in the news, it seems like there's someone who says something that's true and that's right, and then they're made to recant it and apologize profusely for ever having said it within the next couple of days. That's the way the devil wants it. The devil wants those who say what's right to be put to shame. That's cowardly. I saw a somewhat mockingly written, but also very appropriately written, prayer for political leaders, specifically said a prayer for a president. And it said, "The Lord bless them, the courage not of their own convictions, but of your commandments." Let's be honest, we have leaders who love us according God's commandments instead of their own convictions. So that's what we've had for a couple hundred years, and we see where it's gotten us. We've gotten to the point where those who sent us to God are sort of able to apologize for it. But I have some kind of change that much in 2000 years, some kind of thing. I just thought that it would be the process of doing good from time to time, but they needed to have and apologize for what they were saying. The difference is, they wouldn't back down. They kept standing up for what they believed in and what they knew to be right, and they said so. They said things like, "You must obey God rather than men." They said things like, "We cannot help but speak the things we can." That was their answer. And they were commanded, very quick, to be quiet. They responded by saying, "No. I want to be quiet. I'm going to show you what the eyes of the matter do." Thank you. done the other thing that I've noticed, and so I'm investing in it, instead of exactly the opposite. And then the third minute, they say something completely different. And so then wonder, what do they really believe? Does the Bible really contribute to that different setting? We must be bold and caring. There are certain of boldness to it. If the Bible leads you to read, then there is caring to it. You see, there are a lot of times that the people are bold, so you can see it. It's easy to understand that it's important. It's so easy to be bold. And where does boldness come from? Because if I think that not only the sins of people are doing, but sin to be bold. So boldness. And that's another word that sometimes is used to express that word in the Greek. It's actually two different words in the Greek, and one of them is sometimes translated with the word, a term of the word, bold. To dare to do something. But sometimes we Christians are told, no, you're supposed to be weak. You're supposed to be broken. You're supposed to be balanced. You can't be daring. You can't be bold. That's just not your place. And people have been saying that about Christians for long enough, they don't have Christians that believe that nonsense. We have to start spending some time on the vice of nice. There are times when we just don't need to be nice. Is it kind? The answer is yes. But not the way the world defines the word nice. There are some places that doesn't belong in Christianity. We need to be good. Not always nice. Paul, concerned with the Corinthians, he wasn't very nice. He was bold, though. So where does boldness come from? First of all, boldness comes from righteousness. Proverbs 28:1, our scripture for the week. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, there aren't many things that a lion is afraid of, I don't suppose. A lion pretty much goes where he wants to go and do what he wants to do, and he doesn't have a lot of fear. The lion wanders around right next to the elephants, right next to all of the other animals, and he'll lay down and go to sleep and not be concerned about any of them hurting him. We have on our sheets the song, Anywhere with Jesus, and one of those verses Jesus says, Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep. That's part of the boldness that we have, the confidence that we have in Christ, that anywhere we are, if we know that we are with Christ and Christ is with us, there is no fear. Nothing to be afraid of. But Solomon tells us in Proverbs that the right is the bold of the lion. Notice what the contrary to that, the opposite of that, is that the wicked flee, but no one's even chasing them. You see, an adult walks into a room and says he's doing something they're not supposed to do. It's scattered. Now, the adult didn't even step in there. He's doing that, then let it do. Nobody does a mess of what they're doing. But they look good running like they're being punched. There's a criminal from the dark who made it to the crime, and a car turns down the road.
Exactly. That's the word of
beginning. But the Bible says that there is no sin in righteousness. Not fear, but boldness. There is also something further at 7:9 in Ephesians 6:19-20. In 1 Corinthians 4, the apostles are told that praying to the Lord is still boldness because of being threatened. And in Ephesians 6, Paul asks the first day to pray to the Lord that we may have boldness. So we can pray for ourselves, but we can ask other Christians to pray for us and acknowledge that we want to pray. Not to the Lord. Righteousness, prayer, and then third and boldness comes from being filled with God's Spirit. At 4:31, says that when they had prayed, the faith was strengthened when they were assembled together. Many of us prayed with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now there is something in the religious world today who still expects the Holy Spirit to come on them as it did the apostles in that first century. And we need to understand that when we have the Spirit, when we have His Word, and when we have His teaching living in our lives, we can have that boldness. We don't have to have a miraculous event take place in order to be bold with the Spirit of God. And then fourth, boldness comes from faith in and being in Christ. Ephesians 3:12 says, in faith, and not Christ, in him, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So being in him and having faith in him brings us boldness and confidence. And then we see also that boldness comes from an understanding of God's grace, Romans 15:15. Sometimes I think for many Christians the reason that they're not bold is because they don't understand God's grace. They don't understand the power of it. They don't have God's grace working in their lives. They're not confident in God's ability to forgive them of their sins. And so they're not confident to tell others the same message of forgiveness. We need to understand God's grace. We need to study about God's grace and learn what the Bible teaches us about how forgiving and merciful God is. Romans 15:15 says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul says he was able to write to the church at Rome more boldly because of grace. We need to have that kind of courage as well, because of the grace that we have received. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. Now Jesus is there talking to the apostles about the abilities that he's given them at that time to cast out demons. But we've received some things freely given. We need to freely give it. We've received the grace of God. We've received the forgiveness of our sins. We've received the Word of God. We need to share it. And then, of course, the final thing that I've found, and you may find something else, the final thing that I've found that is a source for boldness, and boldness can come from being inspired by another's courage. I've noticed that. When one person becomes courageous, then others step out and say, you know what, me too. I'm going to stand up for what's right. And you know, when the Bible talks about us as being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, we need to be the ones who stand up and say, I'm going to stand for what's right. And you might be surprised how many others will stand up and join. Stand up for what's right. Not be afraid, not just let everything continue on. Verses 1:14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds preaching about that. Paul was in prison because of what he was preaching and teaching, and that made the other people more confident. I think it's a little faster. But that is nothing but pride out of the moment. But it didn't. Because they saw how he was standing up with courage during his fasting and his imprisonment, it made them want to be more courageous too. And it says because they became more confident, they are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Think about that. You could be an inspiration to others. Perhaps that's why there is so much cowardice and so little boldness in our society today. Maybe it's because of the freedom we have. Maybe because it's so easy to worship God, we don't realize how precious a gift it truly is. And we expect that that freedom will just always be. We need to speak with boldness, or else that freedom may be lost. So we've seen the source of the boldness. Now let's look at what boldness can cause us to do. Boldness can cause us to ask of man. Mark 15, verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, was also waiting for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now, that's something. What's most amazing about this situation is that at the same time that Joseph of Arimathea is going to Pilate and asking for the body of Christ, the apostles are going to hide. They're running scared. And yet Joseph of Arimathea is going boldly to Pilate and saying, I want the body. I want to be able to bury this body and give it a proper burial. What a time to be courageous. Joseph of Arimathea, at a time when certainly the Jewish rulers would have liked to have put some more people to death besides Jesus if they found out that this kind of thing was going on. And yet he still went boldly to Pilate and asked. But also boldness will cause us to ask of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then in Hebrews 10:19 he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We won't be afraid to go right up to God and ask for what we need if we have boldness. Boldness can also cause us to speak. John 7 and verse 26, Christ gave us the example. It says, but lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers indeed know indeed that this is the Christ? They said, well, here he is. He's out here talking openly, plainly, boldly, right here in front of them, and they're not stopping him. They're not answering him. Wow, they must know something. They must know this really is the Christ. And then also, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles and declared how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Having that boldness is going to make us speak. Say something. And then boldness can cause us to act. In Acts 13 and verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have been first spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas, because of their boldness, were willing to tell an entire nation of people, we're leaving. We're not going to talk to you anymore.
we're going to go talk to somebody else and find somebody that will listen.
Boy.
That's the problem I know with all of these companies who recant and apologize for everything under the sun, even when they haven't done anything wrong. It's because they're trying to steal the old claim of customers already buy. So they're trying to get customers. They're trying to make a profit. And so they don't want to offend anybody. Because if they offend somebody, imagine if one of these companies came out and took a stand that homosexuality was wrong, all the homosexuals would sit behind their products. They don't, however, seem the slightest bit concerned about offending all the Christians by whatever they do when they have their special gay days, or, you know, they, you know, give benefits to unmarried couples who are living together as though they were married. They don't say anything about offending Christians. That's okay. Christians were made to be offended, I guess. But boldness is going to cause us to act from time to time. Now, sometime, at some point, one of these companies may get to the point where we just finally say, you know what? I am fed up with them. I'm not going to do business with them anymore. It would be better if more people wouldn't get that fed up with some of these companies. Some of them would straighten up and do a little better about something. But being bold, boldness will cause us to act. Also, boldness can cause us to stop fearing man. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, that's a hard one. Because most of us, if somebody showed up here with a gun, would be scared because of what that man with a gun could do to us. But the Bible tells us that we're going to have the ability to get a level of boldness that says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And that's what Jesus told the disciples. Don't be afraid of him who can kill the body, but after that doesn't have any power. Fear the one that can cast that body and soul into hell. That's what you're supposed to be afraid of. The more we fear God, the less we'll fear man. I know a lot of us. And I mean, you know, obviously, somebody came in with a gun. The natural reaction would be afraid, to be scared. That's a natural survival instinct. There's nothing wrong with that natural reaction. God created us with that reaction. The fight or flight type mechanism is a survival instinct. He put it in not just human beings, but other animals as well. But what are we going to do with it after we have that initial reaction of fear? Because I promise you, when people panic, more people get hurt than if people remain calm and conquer that fear and act with courage. Then also, boldness will cause us to magnify Christ at all costs. Philippians 1:20, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing will I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. By death. Paul said, I'm going to magnify Christ whether I live or whether I die. Christ is going to become more important. Going to become better known. Going to be bigger because of me. Can we say that? Can we have that kind of boldness? Or we say, well, you know, I kind of want to be big myself. I don't want him to have all the spotlight. I want to get some of it. Boldness says, I'm going to magnify Christ at all costs. No matter what, even if it causes my death. And then, boldness will cause us to die
ready to face the judgment.
Why is that?
The bold are the ones who are ready to go to judgment,
not the fearful.
Confidence. Could you go confidently today to judgment? Or would you go afraid that God knows about some secret sin in your life that nobody else knows about? Or is there doubt that maybe I don't really trust God that much. Not sure that I'd go to heaven, and so I'm not ready to die. What would your response be? 1 John 4 and verse 17, John says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." We're going to have boldness in the day of judgment if we are perfect in love. And if we have that boldness, we're ready for the judgment. We're not afraid of it. Paul himself said, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. And I know." He didn't say, "I think," or even, "I hope." He said, "I know there is a crown of life laid up for me." Can you say that? With that kind of confidence, with that kind of boldness, the crown of life waiting for me, one with my name on it? Paul went on to say, "And not for me only, but also for all of them who have loved His appearing." All of those who are faithful. There's a crown waiting. The boldness will cause us to ask of man, ask of God, to speak, to act, to stop fearing man, to magnify Christ, and to die ready to face the judgment. Our boldness may also cause some effects in others. Our boldness may cause others to marvel at 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. How could somebody who hadn't been to theological seminary be so bold to tell us about the Bible? So they marveled, first of all. But also, their boldness caused those there to take knowledge, to learn something. It says after they marveled, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Is there anything about your conduct and about your speech, about your behavior around other people that lets them take the knowledge that you've been with Jesus? Because if not, then something needs to change. But they saw that boldness, and they marveled, and And you don't have to go to theological seminary to learn the Bible. You spend some time with God's Word. Spend some time with Jesus in the Gospel. Spend some time with the apostles in the letters to the churches. And you'll become more like them in the things that you say, and hopefully in the way that you act. That's the goal. But our boldness may cause others to conspire against us. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 29 it says, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." They conspired against him. They wanted to kill him. You know, our boldness may cause some people to get to that point that they want to kill us. In fact, in time past and even in present time, the boldness of some Christians has caused others not only to want to kill them, but to follow through with it. Certainly did Jesus. Now, Jesus could have kept in a little corner and stayed quiet and not ever done or said anything that offended the Sadducees and Pharisees, and they'd have left him alone. But he didn't. He came out boldly. And they couldn't let that go.
because his boldness was refuting them and their hypocrisy. But our boldness may cause others to be silenced. We saw in John 7:26 that he spoke boldly and they said nothing. They couldn't answer him, and so instead of answering him, they just went around in secret behind his back trying to figure out a way to get rid of him. But some will be silenced by our boldness. I recall Sister Marilyn Johnson before she died of cancer. She wasn't a Christian for very long before she succumbed to cancer. But I remember that some of the groups were going out there and trying to scare her, trying to frighten her. And they were telling her that there were demons in her house and that she had to get out of that house because those demons were what were giving her the cancer. And one of the days when I went over there to see her, they were there. And when I came up and got out of the car and went up, and when I introduced myself, I didn't know who they were. I thought maybe they were relatives or friends or neighbors. When I introduced myself to those two men who were there, who had been there, I don't know how long they'd been there talking with her, trying to scare her. When I introduced myself to them, they left. It silenced them. As far as I know, they never came back after that day to bother her about that again. But they were trying to frighten her. Now, there are some things we need to be frightened of. Demons in a house trailer ain't one of them. Okay? That's just not it. We need to be frightened of hellfire. We need to be frightened of sin and its power to entangle and enslave us. We need to run from it with all our strength and with every bit of speed we can. But, you know, there's nothing in a house that can hurt you. Not your soul. Revelation 21, in verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things.